Wow, welcome to our 11 a.m. service here at Cornerstone Katong. So good to see you on this lovely Sunday morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing upon each one of us this morning. We ask that upon the one who is speaking, upon the one who is listening, God, that you may give us a word in season for every person that is here. And so, Lord, open your word to us as we open our hearts to receive your truth. Help me to convey your word in its clarity and in its power. May today's word be life-changing and bring great honor to your name. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Well, today Singapore turns 61. So happy birthday, Singapore. You know, in just six decades, we have gone from a small island with no natural resources to becoming one of the world's most prosperous and influential countries. Every National Day, we celebrate how far we have come. But this morning, I'd like to ask a different question. Has Singapore reached her destination, or is God preparing her for a greater assignment? Now, that may sound like an unusual question to ask, but I believe that the answer is found in one of the most unexpected places in Scripture. John chapter 11 records one of Jesus' best-known miracles, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, you may be wondering, what does Lazarus have to do with Singapore? On the surface, absolutely nothing. Because one is a man, the other is a nation. One lived in Bethany, the other is a little island in Southeast Asia. One was wrapped in grave clothes, the other is known for skyscrapers and success. So what could they possibly have in common? Perhaps more than we realize. Because John chapter 11 is more than a story of one man's resurrection. It reveals how God works. Because John 11 is more than a story. And again throughout Scripture, whenever God is about to reveal His glory, whenever He's about to accomplish a greater purpose, whenever He's about to begin a new chapter, you always find a tomb, a cave, or a stone. God has a way of bringing life where others see only finality. And that is why I believe John chapter 11 carries a prophetic message for us in Singapore today. Because the God who called Lazarus out of the tomb is the same God who still calls people, who still calls churches, and who still calls nations into His purposes. One of the lyrics that we sing for one of the National Day songs, We Are Singapore, it says something like this. There was a time when people said that Singapore won't make it, but we did. Humanly speaking, Singapore's story is remarkable. Against all odds, this tiny red dot has become a nation whose influence far exceeds its size. And God has entrusted this nation with unusual influence. And where God entrusts unusual influence, He also expects unusual faithfulness. Today, the world may call Singapore an economic miracle, but I believe in God's eyes, and like Lazarus' story, we are more than a miracle. We are born for such a time as this. We have been raised for more. And hence, my message is titled, More Than a Miracle, and our text is taken from John chapter 11. The story opens with Lazarus falling seriously ill, and yet Jesus deliberately delayed his journey to him. And then Lazarus died, and for 4 days he lay in a tomb. Martha was disappointed, Mary was heartbroken, and those around them had already accepted the outcome. The stone was in place, the grave was sealed, everything pointed to one conclusion: it is over. But when a situation is beyond man's ability, it is never beyond God's authority. And it is at this moment that we pick up the story in verse 38 of John chapter 11. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Verse 43, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." The raising of Lazarus is more than a miracle. It is a revelation of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in our lives today. John chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. So let me draw five insights from this passage. The first is the tomb, the cave, and the stone. In this story, most people remember the miracle. They remember Lazarus walking out of the tomb. Some remember that Jesus wept, which is the shortest verse in the Bible. Others remember Martha's conversation with Jesus. But very few remember this one simple detail in verse 38 of John 11. Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. At first glance, it seems insignificant. It is just another descriptive sentence. But John's gospel, you have to realize, is never careless with details. In fact, at the end of his gospel, John tells us that Jesus performed many other signs that were not recorded in this book. So every miracle John recorded was intentional. Every detail was deliberate. Nothing was accidental. Everything points to something greater, something deeper. So when John tells us that it was a cave and a stone lay against it, he is inviting us to see more than just the setting. He's saying, don't stop at the miracle. Look beyond the sign. Because the tomb, the cave, and the stone are not just part of Lazarus' story. Sooner or later, every one of us will encounter them in our own lives. These three images become more than physical place. They become pictures of our own spiritual journey, and they reveal how Jesus meets us in our darkest moments. Because the beautiful truth is this, our greatest need is not simply to escape the tomb. It is not merely to find a way out of the cave. It is not even just to have the stone being rolled away. Our greatest need is Jesus. And whenever Jesus is present, death never has the final word. So what do these three images represent? A tomb is where hope has died. It's where you have stopped believing things can ever change. It doesn't always refer to a physical death. Sometimes it could mean a dead dream, a broken marriage, a ministry that had never became what you had hoped it would be, a relationship that could not be restored, or a passion for God that slowly faded. A tomb is any place where you have stopped expecting life. The tomb is where human possibility ends, but it is also where divine possibility begins. Because watch out, Jesus is about to do something. So let me encourage you, whenever you find yourself in a tomb, look for the testimony. Whenever you are facing a tomb situation, don't just focus on what died. Look for what Jesus is about to resurrect. Now, John doesn't simply just tell us it was a tomb. He also tells us it was a cave. A cave is enclosed. It is dark, confined, and it feels like there's no way forward and there's no way out. It feels like a dead end. Many people today are living in caves. A financial cave, an emotional cave, a spiritual cave, or you don't even know what to do with your life anymore. You are stuck. You look to the left, you look to the right, you have tried everything you know, and yet nothing, there's no way out, nothing seems to be working. But Jesus saw Lazarus's cave not as a dead end. He saw it as a stage upon which the glory of God would be revealed. So what feels like a dead end in your situation may actually be the doorway to God's next chapter in your life. But here's the tragedy. Dead people belong in tombs. Living people don't belong in caves. And yet so many people are still imprisoned today in the caves of yesterday's hurts, in the cave of yesterday's failures, in the cave of yesterday's disappointments. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus so he could remain in the cave. He called him out. And likewise, Jesus never created you to live in a cave. He created you to live in the newness of life that he has given you. Amen. And then there was a stone. Now, a stone speaks of finality. One, it was rolled across the entrance of a tomb. The message was clear. It is over. Game over. The case is closed. The verdict is final. Don't ever open up again. Perhaps you have experienced moments like that. A dream that collapsed. A relationship that ended. A diagnosis you never expected. Or words spoken over your life that you still carry today. The stone says, accept it. This is life. Nothing will ever change. Sometimes it is other people who roll the stone into our lives. The stone of rejection, the stone of betrayal, the stone of criticism, the stone of false accusation. Other times, we roll the stone ourselves. Stone of shame, stone of regret, stone of fear, or stone of self-condemnation. And before long, we begin believing the lies. This is just who I am. I'll never change. God can't use me anymore. Until one day we find ourselves living behind a stone that God never intended to be there in the first place. And then we come to the second insight, the authority of God's word. After the stone had been removed, Jesus did something remarkable. He didn't enter the tomb. He didn't touch Lazarus. He didn't carry him out. He simply spoke because the power was in his word. John 11 verse 43 says this, that he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. At that moment, death had no choice but to obey. That is the authority of the voice of Jesus. Amen. I've often heard preachers say that Jesus had to call Lazarus by name because otherwise, if he called, come forth, every dead person will come up from the cemetery. I believe that. But here's the point. Jesus didn't give a general command. Come forth. He called Lazarus personally. He called him by his name. You see, Jesus doesn't just call crowds. He calls individuals. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows what you're going through even right now. In fact, he knows exactly where you have been buried. And when he speaks, his word carries resurrection power. Perhaps some of us have been listening to the wrong voices all this while. The voice of failure, the voice of shame, the voice of regret, the voice of criticism, the voice of social media, the comments that people said about you, or even the voice of the enemy. Those voices keep saying, you're finished, you're done, you have been disqualified. But Jesus never called Lazarus, hey, dead man, come out. He called him Lazarus because Jesus did not define him by his condition, for Lazarus was dead. Not just one day, 2 days, 3 days, but 4 days, dead, dead. He called him according to his identity. And that's why we must learn to listen to the voice of Jesus above all other voices, because only he speaks life into our situation. Jesus said in John 10, that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Wow, that's a powerful verse. God's word carries greater authority than your past, greater authority than your emotions, greater authority than your circumstances, and greater authority than the verdict the world has placed over your life. Now, here's something else that struck me as I read this passage. People carried Lazarus into the tomb, but no one carried him out of the tomb. When Jesus spoke, Lazarus had to respond. He had to get up, he had to walk, and he had to step out of the cave. There comes a moment in every believer's life that we must respond to the voice of Jesus. Unless you want to get stuck in your cave, unless you want to get stuck in the tomb that God never intended for you to stay in. But when Jesus calls us, we have to respond and come out. No one else can obey on your behalf. No one else can step out for you. In other words, you cannot remain where Christ has called you to live. Amen. There's something else that we need to see. Lazarus walked out through the very same entrance he had been carried into. Remember, it was a cave. And in a cave, there's only one entrance. There was no back door, no side exit, no secret tunnel. The same path that led him into death became the same path that led him back into life. I want to say this, where you die is where you will rise again. Most of us want God to give us a different road, a different path. Instead, he often brings us back to the very place where we experience our deepest pain, not to shame us, but to redeem us. The place where you fail becomes the place where God displays his grace. The place where you have been rejected becomes the place where he restores you. And the place you have been wounded becomes the place where he brings healing. God doesn't just rescue us from our past, he redeems our past as well. And when he does that, you don't walk the same path as the same person. Lazarus entered the tomb carried by others. He came out responding to the voice of Jesus. He entered lifeless. He came out alive. He entered as a victim of death. He came out as a testimony to the glory of God. Amen. So perhaps you have been waiting for God to create a different path, a different road, another option for you. Maybe today the Lord is saying to you, I'm going to lead you through the same place. Hey, but this time, you'll walk through it differently. Not defeated, not ashamed, not bound, but set free by the power of God's voice. Now that reminds me of my own journey. Many of you know, public speaking never come naturally for me or to me. You know, the other day someone came up to me and said, Pastor Kev, whenever I hear Pastor Young preach, I get inspired. I get charged up. But when I hear you speak, I find hope. I find healing. I thought to myself, if God can use Pastor Kevin, then there are a lot of all of us, there's hope. So either way, you'll be blessed in this house. August is a significant month in my life, not only because it is Singapore's birthday, not only because it is the month that I gave my life to Christ. It is also the month that I experienced one of the most embarrassing moments in my life. I remember 6 years ago, I started emceeing the service and I had rehearsed everything. I have prepared every announcement diligently. But when I stood on this stage, this very stage, my mind went blank. I hear my voice amplified many times and I got scared. And then you have the spotlight shining at your face. I stumbled all over my words and I lost my train of thought. And it was National Day weekend service just like today. It's deja vu. Instead of wishing everybody Happy National Day, I shouted, Happy National Service! And then I was thinking to myself, what just happened to me? What was I thinking? You know, army, military service? And then the next part of the announcement, I forgot the dates for the upcoming training class. For some people, it's okay. For me, it's not, because I'm the head of the training department. I should know the dates. There were three services that day, and somehow each service became worse than the other. You know it's bad when well-meaning friends text you, instead of, well done, great job, they text you, good try. One church member tried to encourage me and said, it's okay, everybody goes through that, they have their moments. Anyway, no one remembers what you say. So don't be so hard on yourself. That was the most liberating statement, actually. By the end of the day, I didn't want to see anybody. I just wanted to go home. I even wrote in my journal entry that day, the day Kevin Koh died. Just swallow me up, Lord. Or at least that's how I felt. Have I thought of giving up? Always, all the time, of course. Everything in me wanted to avoid this stage, just to go another way, find another person, find a better person. But God wouldn't let me go. He brought me back to this very place where I had stumbled again and again and again. Not to humiliate me, but to heal me. Not to expose my weakness, but to demonstrate His grace. So today I stand on this stage. I don't stand here because I'm naturally gifted. I stand here because the grace of God is greater than my fears. Amen. Praise God. And you can do that as well. It has become a place of testimony. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And so whatever you're going through today, the difficult times, the challenging times that you're going through, we can overcome this together. Amen. Sounds like a National Day rally speech. Yes, I'm feeling patriotic already. God wants to do the same for you. The place where you want to avoid may become the very place where God reveals His faithfulness. The place where you experience your deepest hurt may become the place where someone else discovers hope through your story. You see, the enemy wants your failure to become your identity, but God turns your failure into your testimony. The path that once led to death now becomes the pathway of life. Because when Jesus speaks, even your greatest defeat can become your greatest testimony. Amen. Now, many people think the story ends in John chapter 11, but it doesn't, because John chapter 12 tells us what happened after Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Let's listen to these words in John chapter 12, verse 9 onwards. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there and that they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. So think about that. People travel all the way to Bethany for two reasons. One, to see Jesus. Two, to see Lazarus. Not because Lazarus was famous, not because he was a celebrity, but because he had become a living testimony of what Jesus could do. So the miracle didn't end when Lazarus walked out of the tomb. The miracle continued every time someone looked at him. Every conversation he had, they're staring at him. Every meal he shared, they're staring at him. Every step he took, people are observing him. His life became a living evidence of the power of Christ. Lazarus didn't just have a testimony. He was the testimony. And that's God's desire for every believer. God doesn't perform miracles just to impress us. He doesn't need to. God performs miracles in our lives so that people will encounter Jesus through our lives. Your greatest testimony isn't what God did for you years ago. Your greatest testimony is the person that you have become because of what Christ has done in you. Amen. And what was true of Lazarus is also true of Singapore. Throughout Scripture, whenever God blesses His people, He blesses them with a purpose. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. So blessing was never meant to stop with us. Blessing was always meant to flow through us. Singapore's remarkable rise over the past six decades was never a destination. It was God's preparation for a greater assignment. Preparation to reveal His glory, preparation to strengthen His church, preparation to bless the nations, and preparation to send. Just as Antioch became the sending church, I believe Singapore is called to become the sending nation. Not simply exporting business, but exporting hope of the gospel. Not merely sending investments, but sending missionaries, church planters, pastors, leaders, marketplace people into the nations. Men and women who carry the gospel throughout Asia and beyond. You see, God has uniquely positioned this nation at the crossroads of cultures, languages, commerce, education, technology, influence. And so we need to realize that God has entrusted Singapore with much influence, because with greater blessings come greater stewardship. And so the true measure of Singapore, I believe, will not be our GDP. It will not be our skyline. It will not be our passport or our global rankings. The true measure will be how faithfully we steward what God has placed in our hands and how willingly we use them to make Christ known. Amen. So just as people came to Bethany because of Lazarus, may people come to know Jesus because of what they see in us. May they see a people who carry His presence. May they see a nation that reflects His glory. May we become channels of His blessing. May we become more than a miracle. May we become His living testimony. Amen. Now let me close with one final detail in the story. Most people think Jesus only called one person that day, and that was Lazarus. But as I read John chapter 11 again, I realized Lazarus wasn't the only one Jesus called. In John chapter 11, verse 20, it says that then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Mary didn't go to meet Jesus. She stayed where she was. Martha says in verse 28, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and he is calling for you." Jesus wasn't only calling Lazarus that day. He was calling Mary as well. Verse 32, when Mary came where Jesus was, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Before Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he first called Mary out of her disappointment. Mary wasn't dead. She wasn't in the tomb. But something inside her was. Her hope had died. Her expectations had been shattered. Her heart was broken. And the very first words out of her mouth revealed what she had been carrying for the last few days. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Can you hear the disappointment? "Jesus, you came too late." Perhaps you have prayed prayers like this. "If only you had been here, if only you have answered sooner, if only you had opened that door, if only you had healed, if only you had intervened, Lord." Sometimes life doesn't unfold the way we expected. Sometimes we become disappointed with our circumstances. And if we are truly honest, we are disappointed with God. Or perhaps we are disappointed with people who were supposed to represent God. A leader, a pastor, a parent, a Christian friend. And somewhere along the way, our disappointment with people quietly became disappointment with God. But Jesus knew exactly what Mary was carrying, and that's why he called for her. Before he dealt with Lazarus's death, he first ministered to Mary's heart. So perhaps there are some Marys here today. You still love the Lord, but you're carrying disappointment. Things didn't turn out the way you expected. The prayer wasn't answered the way you expected. The timing didn't make sense. And you quietly wonder in your heart, "Lord, where were you?" If that's you today, then hear these words again. The teacher is here and he's calling for you. Let me leave you with one final thought. There was a tomb, there was a cave, there was a stone, but there was also Jesus. And whenever Jesus is present, death, that never gets the final word. So perhaps today you see yourself somewhere in the story. Maybe you are facing or standing before a tomb. A dream has died. A relationship has ended. Your joy has faded and your passion for God has grown cold. Or perhaps you're in a cave. You feel trapped. You've tried everything you know, but you cannot see a way forward. Or there's a stone in front of you, a disappointment, a fear, a failure, or even a wound, something that seemed impossible to move. Then remember John chapter 11, because it says that the tomb is not your destination. The cave is not your address. It's not where you're going to stay. And the stone in your life, over your life, is not permanent, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The one who stood before the tomb of Lazarus is the same one who walked out of his own tomb. And in both tombs, Jesus conquered. And that is our hope. And that's why the gospel is truly the good news. Amen. Shall we all stand in the presence of God as I ask the worship team to just come and to lead us in a time of worship? I want to just give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord this morning. Because the Lord is here, the Lord is calling people. Perhaps you have been living with disappointment. Perhaps you have been carrying a shame or trapped by fear or accepted as permanent what was only meant to be temporary. Today, Jesus is saying, come forth. Come out of despair. Come out of disappointment. Come out of fear. How long are you going to stay in your cave? How long are you going to stay trapped, dead in the tomb? Maybe it may not be something that is a curveball that came your way. But today, the same voice that called Lazarus is still calling people today. And so if that is you this morning, if you know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart, I want to invite you, as Bob leads us in worship, to just simply come forth. For some of us, we may not be in a tomb. You may not be in a cave. That may not be a stone that is rolled over your life. But you just hear the word of the Lord saying, come. The Lord is calling. And so if that is you, I want to invite you to come to the altar and be where the Lord has asked you to come, even as Lord Bob leads us in worship. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Deacons, don't ask that you come and pray for the people that are in front.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. And to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. So break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands and just worship the Lord? I want to pray and close this time and speak a blessing. But before that, I want to pray over you, pray over us about the name of Jesus. One of the things that I didn't talk about, but in my time reading John 11, is that I have not realized, I have not understood the power of the name of Jesus. And so many times, so many of us have taken the name of Jesus so lightly that it doesn't carry weight in whatever we say or we pray. But Lord, this morning we come before you, we humble ourselves. Lord, we repent of taking the name of Jesus so lightly. We have belittled the name of Jesus to just like a text or in the book. But today, Lord, would you do in our heart, Lord, a reverse, Lord. Lord, help each one of us to understand the power of the name of Jesus, that even when you speak, death had to obey. And yet in our lives, whenever we talk about the name of Jesus, we treat it so lightly sometimes. But Lord, we ask that you forgive us, and we pray for every single one of us, even those who are watching online. Lord, reveal to us, show us, do whatever is necessary, Lord, so that when we speak the name of Jesus, it carries weight, it carries anointing, it carries breakthrough, it carries life into every situation and circumstance they were speaking into, because the name of Jesus is powerful. Jesus, you said that I am the resurrection and I am the life. May that be a reality in our lives, in our prayer, in everything that we say, that as long as we say in the name of Jesus, everything, both on heaven and earth and hell, has to obey and listen carefully to. May that be the place that you bring us into, God, we ask this day, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, seal your word in our hearts, Lord. Let your word be truth, be power, be all that is needed, Lord, to break and unlock every situation and bring life, hope, and healing to the situation. And so, Lord, this morning, even as your people has come to bless you, we pray now, bless your people this day. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And so may the Lord put his name on you. The blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, blessings of God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide in you now and forevermore. And everybody say, amen and amen. Let's give God a big praise offering this morning.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.